thinking. It's a time to start relaxing. And I know that's, we just kind of get in the habit of doing that. But if we don't teach our children that this is the time, there's times that you go places, that we don't do that, they'll do it everywhere they go. Okay? So we're going to see if I can kind of get, I'm going to do a few slides. And what me doing these few slides, what I'd like to do, I'm going to have everybody that's over here just move over here. Because I can't get right there, I'm going to turn like this. And then I won't have my back to you. And we'll go ahead and get started. So if we don't have it all prepared, the table, we'll go ahead and stop right now, and then we'll finish up with the last little bit after we're done. Make sure I have everybody from the kitchen. Anybody that's over there? And then we'll just finish up getting the table prepared after we're done. Now, you're probably going to want to make sure that you have your paper, pen, notes. Again, I don't know. Kind of how maybe this, everybody don't understand it. We're going to give everybody a break on this first time. But remember, this is a church service. This is not a gathering, a get together like you go do when you're going to have a church outing. And so I want to make sure that we all understand that. And that's how important this is and valuable it is. Because of the seriousness of what all of this represents and what we got to do to make sure that we take it to heart. So I want you to take some time to just relax. Let go of everything you've been doing all day. Forget about what you got to do tomorrow. I'm going to tell you something tonight. That's going to do, two things are going to happen. You're either going to be liberated and walk in a newness of God like you've never been before. Never, ever. Because I assure you, I'm going to share something with you tonight that you had no idea that's what God meant in His Word. Or what I say tonight is going to be nothing more than words to you, and the consequences of that will be dearly paid. That way you'll know up front. Everybody's clear on it. We have to get out of the habit that our children think that every outing or event you go to, that none of them serious. This is a serious time. Very serious. Everybody gets a break. That's called the grace of God. We all get a break tonight, but hopefully we'll never do this again. And I'm going to show you why, because I have to make sure before I allow anybody to sit at these chairs, it's not just eating. We're not eating. We can eat anytime. We want to do hamburgers and hot dogs. We can do that, and everybody can just kid around and joke around. This is not what this is. We have lost the seriousness of what the important things are in the church. And sometimes we kind of make fun of groups who take things serious. We think they take it too serious. I think we're not serious enough. You know, so we got to find that spot. And the only way we find that is in God. We got to let Him tell us. And so I hope that you understand this. So we're going to record this. I hope that you listen to it over and over again. I'm going to try to go through this as quickly as possible. When we're done, you're going to have to decide. Now, anybody can come to Passover, but not all should participate. I'm going to give you the information. You decide. I'm not going to bring no curse on you. You will. You mamas and dads know if your children's even ready. You know that. If you need to have a quick talk with them, we'll take the time necessary to make sure that's important. Now, this is a great value that we have to understand. And I can tell you, children have to be involved in this simply because they'll never know. And so I'm all for it. But we got to get this together. So I want to explain this to you. Now, on this particular part, we're talking about unleavened bread and Passover. So, and I apologize, I'm not there, and you're going to be looking there, but every now and then, I'll just walk out in front for you. Because of how we had to set up, this is the easiest way for me to do it. If I go up there, I'm too far away from you, and I want to be right by you tonight. In Exodus 12, 15, and 16, it says this. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, but on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. How many see that? Verse 16. On the first day you shall have a holy assembly, and another holy assembly on the seventh day. And one translation says a holy convocation. No work at all shall be done on them except what must be eaten by every person, that alone may be prepared by you. Okay? So he knows there's some things you're going to have to do. So we're getting ready for that. This gets us ready for. Does that make sense to everybody? This is what gets us ready. It's what prepares us. It's what gets us to move in that direction. Now he says, now he's talking about leaven, and I'm going to explain to you, I believe that the part that we have to understand is, what is leaven? What does he mean when he says that? What is that meaning behind when he speaks that away? We're going to talk about that. Leaven in the Hebrew is sa'ar. 07603, leaven, the original word, and that's in the Tetragrammaton, so you'll see that. I went all the way back to its original set. Part of the speech is now, it's a masculine, transliterated, se'or, the phonetic spelling, you can see there. 07604 is where it comes from, and it means to leave or remain behind. The short definition is just leaven. That's why it's put there for us to read it in English. But in its original, it would have been in remove se'or. So I want you to think about that. I want you to think about this definition that I gave you so you understand it. Verse 6 of Matthew 16, it says, and Jesus said to them, watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So we need to know what that is, because if I need you, see, this is not about removing leaven from your house. All that is if you want to just participate in something. How many understand that? This is more serious than taking the yeast out your house and putting it in a bag somewhere. I hope that everybody knows that. So you get a chance to do that, you can go do that when you get home. But what about the leaven inside of us? How do we, if we don't know what it is, how can we remove it? And there has to be a removal. There has to be a removal in order for you to participate in this tonight. So he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now watch this, it's an incredible verse. Because it goes on in verse 12, he says, and they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread. They understood. See, when he said 11, the Hebraic people, they already knew already. Just like I gave you examples before. If I say something, you automatically know what it is. So he's not having to spell it out to them. Because what does the scripture say? They already knew that he wasn't talking about leaven in bread. Is it? How many see this? Let me tell you. Let me tell you why it's important to read and read and read and read again. I keep go over it. I go over it. And even after I teach it, I don't quit studying. And I'll make the adjustments I have to make, even if I have to come back. But this is important. But the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, it was automatic that they knew that was he was talking about. So the question is, what is leaven? That's the question. What is leaven? And we need to know that, because you can't remove that from your life right now. You can't remove it if you don't know what it is. And so I want you to understand this so you can grab hold to it, and then it becomes a part of you, and you'll know what to do from there. So let's look at what is leaven. Leaven, in its biblical form, is yeast, which is a living organism that creates a high state of corruption in bread. Now, I'm going to keep that in mind. From a biblical standpoint, leaven is yeast. It's a living organism. It's living. And it creates a high state of corruption in bread. Now, I want you to think about this. Let me give you the last definition. I'll tell you. Yeast is a microscopic fungus consisting of a single oval cell that reproduces by budding and are capable of converting sugar into alcohol and carbon dioxide. How many of you know what that does to you? What does carbon dioxide do to you if you inhale a bunch of it? What happens to you? You die. Okay? Now, I want to get this, you understand this. Leaven is a single cell. One single cell, it's alive, and it does not. How many of you ever seen leaven work in bread dough? In Hebrew days, they would let the whole dough rise, and then they would take a piece of it off, which is seor, and leave it behind. How many see the definition now? How it connects. What's the R? Leave a piece behind. It's to leave a piece behind. So the leaven's broken. The dough's broken off, left. For the next time they bake, they add that piece into the dough. What happens to the whole lump? From that one piece, what happens? How powerful is yeast? If you took the lump of dough, let's just say a mass this big, and you took one single cell and put it in one corner, it would leaven the whole lump. Not baking soda. Right? What does baking soda do? It'll leaven just where you put it. So we know he's not talking about baking soda because he says a little leaven, CR, leavens the whole lump. If you leave it, it will travel. Because why? How can it travel? It's living. It's a single cell. It's a living organism. Now, this is important because we got to remove that. I'm convinced we got stuff in our lives that's alive, and we got to get rid of it. How many want to do that? It's either way, because listen, if we don't, the moment you come to the threshold and you take the cup, you're saying, I'm okay with me, how I am, right in the face of God. And you bear that consequence. See, sometimes it's almost like if we just wouldn't have found out, we can just keep doing what we've been doing. But we're finding out. And it's for the good. I can assure you it's for the good. So you take the dough, break a piece off, that part's left behind, CR. So how many filing what leaven is now? So I want you to keep that in mind as I continue showing you this. Where did leaven come from? Because that we need to find out, right? How do you change an outcome if you don't get to the root of something? Can you change the fruit of something? So we need to know where it comes from. Right? So let me show you an example, best I can. This is something I had to put together really at the last minute. I needed to show you something here. This right here. How many see this? This represents God. There's no end to him in any direction. None whatsoever. No end. He goes in every direction. There's no end. It started that way. Before anything, there was God. And then, in order for God to continue, because wherever he is, there is light. There's no darkness at all. So in order for things to continue to go on, God had to create this. He had to create that. So I'm going to say something. God created evil. Now you got to slow down and just stop, let you pause on that for a little while. God created evil. God did. Evil could not create itself. God created evil. You say, that doesn't make sense. Well, you got to take that up with God. Because in order for God to do what he needed to do, which was always his plan, that's to bring his creation through this miraculous channel, as it were, to be able to come to him, we had to experience whether or not we would choose to be in the light. So he creates a spot. Now, how can God create this? How could he create this spot? Because it's a place where he will not be. If he's not there, then it's what? Darkness. The Bible says in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God hovered or moved over the face of the water, and God said, "Let there be light." So what God did is he created a channel into the darkness. How many seeing this? It's no different than a woman who is pregnant. This is the womb, and this is the umbilical cord, which allows the light into that. What is the womb surrounded by? Water. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, "Let there be light." Now notice, this is this creation. He's still creating. You remember, we didn't get down to the fourth day, and that's when he created the great light. So this light is not that light. How many following me still? So then, after this, and I got to go quick, this is what we wind up with. We wind up with what Scripture declares as outer, what? Outer darkness. Oh, outer darkness. So we in Genesis. Before we get to Adam and Eve, we have an issue. We have Hasadon, or if you want to say the devil, he's got to decide where he wants to live. You can live in the light, or you can live in the darkness. What did Hasadon decide? He says, "I'm going to build my kingdom in this darkness." And he was allowed to do it. Could he be in the light anymore? No. No. Somebody said, "Well, what is that?" This is God's way. This is what God said, "I won't live right here. Never, ever will I live in this realm." So people got a choice now. If it's just this, where's the choice there? God is light. There's no so powerful. Nothing can change this. Only he can. Is this making sense to everybody? And so what he done, he burst through and said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And then he began to put things in order. And we have this. Let me tell you how we know this. How many trees in the garden? Two? Well, let's look at this a little bit further. Genesis 1, 1-2, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water. So what is the original sin? What is the original sin? We have to, because we're trying to figure out what leaven is, right? He said, be careful of the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And they knew he wasn't talking about yeast. So when we can't, even though there's an application of that, for us to remember, so we bake the bread with unleavened, we do unleavened bread. That's what it's called, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And we do it for how many days? 7 days. Remember that, not six. 7 days. Seven is an incredible number in the scripture, and there's a reason he wants us to do it 7 days. Now I want you to get this. What is the original sin? In 1 Corinthians 5:6-8, says this: your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are, in fact, unleavened. Somebody put the air on, because I don't think it's on. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. So remember that. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So we're going to celebrate the feast. That's what he said. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. Now notice that if it starts, therefore, it starts with therefore. I want to back up and tell you again, your boasting is not good. How many get that? I kind of highlighted, underlined it. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know a little leaven is enough to leaven the whole lump? Right? What he highlights here? Your boasting is not good. Think about that. Clean out the old leaven, and then he starts with that verse. Very powerful the way he starts. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I want everybody to remember this verse. If you have a pen, write it down. If you don't have a pen, borrow one from somebody and write this verse. Put it somewhere on the back of your Bible, in your notes somewhere. Write this verse down. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. How many see that? Right there, that first statement. Just look at that statement. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Then he tells us what evil is. What are we trying to answer? What's the original sin? Pride and arrogance. And the evil ways and the perverted mouth I hate. So the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Then he tells us what evil is. What is it? What is it? Pride and arrogance. What did Hasadon have that put him in the outer darkness part? What did he have? And what did he say? If a person's got pride and arrogance, what are they going to say? No matter what you tell them, what are they going to say? I'm going to do things what? My way. Now, could he have done that? If all we ever would have had was this? There's no choice right here. It's all God. Wherever God is, it's going to be remain this way. Is this making sense to everybody? Wherever God is, he's the creator of everything. Wherever he is, it'll remain this way. God had to choose to do this. He created it. If Satan would have created evil, then he'd have been the original. Is this helping anybody? This ought to help you with your whole walk. I can tell you from tonight on, you're going to have everything you need to walk in health, Because I'm going to show you every sickness is attached to this. Every sickness. Because nobody knows what leaven is. Every sickness is attached to this. Your relationships are going to be real, not fake. How many ready to get tired of all the fake relationships? All the fake brother, fake sister. We'll get rid of that. But it's about the leaven, right? So how many got Proverbs 8:13 down? All right, what is pride? Pride is doing things my way. Remember that. What is pride? Pride is doing things my way. So Hasadon, the devil, what did he do? Things his way. He said, I don't want to do it like God. I want to do my own thing. I want to have my own kingdom. You can, God said, hey, big boy, you want your kingdom, you can have one, but there's only one spot you can do it, in outer darkness. Because wherever I am, there is light. Is this helping you? This stuff's right. I'm going to use the same Bible. You know, you sometimes you think, man, where in the world you got same Bible? It's just sitting down and saying, you know what, God? We need a breakthrough. We got to know some stuff. How in the world is all this possible? I mean, I'm talking, I believe we got people who really love the Lord. But why is there so much of a struggle? Pride and arrogance. It's a little leaven. Leaven's the whole lump. You know how bad it is? It can be on that corner over there, on that corner over there, or right here. It can even be right there in the pulpit, and it'll get on everybody. Because it's a living organism. You can't sit there and say, well, I don't have it. If you with the groups got it, you got it. The moment you said you don't have it, that's the one you got to, you don't, first one needs to say, I got to get rid of this pride. Is this helping anybody? I'm glad it's not me. You see? So keep this in mind. Pride is doing things my way. So let's look at this. Two trees in the garden. One is pure life, right? The tree of life. Because we got Adam, and then we have Adam's wife, right? Adam and Adam's wife. And they have the tree, two trees. One is pure life. The other, knowledge of good and evil. So we know about the pure life, right? We know that. We got the pure life. It winds up like this. Now, did he provide them this? Yes. So here we are. It's kind of how it is, because here's your decision. We have the tree of life and then the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so, to speed it up a little bit, Adam and Eve did things their way. So if you're doing it your way, where do you wind up? He said, you can't be here no more. You got to leave. I have to evict you. I have to. You can't stay. Now, we can hang out, but we got to ask ourselves, I might be in and around stuff, but am I truly one who's just going through emotions? Or have I been evicted a long time ago? I don't want to be. Well, I got to check me, right? I got to find out. So this next one says the tree of life, one pure life and light. So life and light is the same thing, because it says in him there's no darkness at all, right? In him there's no darkness at all. So we got to remain in that light. What is that? Doing things God's way. Right? Doing things God's way. If they would have done things God's way, we'd have a different result. Right? But they done them their way. Now, let me tell you, I want to submit to you that Yeshua HaMashiach, he did things God's way. He knew this same thing applied to him. Son, where you want to be? It's up to you. Remember, a little leaven is going to leaven a whole lump. How many see where we got to get rid of the leaven now? We can't say, well, I don't really feel like dealing with it. Well, that's fine. You don't have to. But don't eat at the Passover. Don't smear it in his face. Now, I don't know, because here's how this is going to go down. I ain't going to come put my hand on nobody and say you shouldn't. You decide that. Although maybe I could do that and be right, but I'm not going to take the chance. So you got to realize deep down inside, you know if you did the right thing or not. You know if your heart's right with God or if you got that leaven. If you don't want to get rid of it, I'm just submitting to you, I wouldn't take part in this. I want to take part in it, but I have to do something too. I got to make sure that I take care of this leaven issue. And what is leaven? It's simple. It's pride. It's pride and boasting. It's doing things your way. Somebody can, listen, if I advise you, how many's ever had advice from me? Any time that you've been coming here? Anybody that's had any advice from me? That's it? I thought I'd been advising people every Sunday morning. This is amazing. You see where we can kind of get locked down? I thought maybe you meant one-on-one. That is one-on-one. Did you thought I was talking to the next guy when I preached? No, I was talking directly to you. Serious. So you've gotten advice, right? Have I advised you just the way I wanted you to do it? I point you to the Word of God. It don't matter what I think. Right? So if I point you to the Word of God, now I know, I'm going to just say this so everybody's clear on it. There's some things that I advise you to do you didn't do. That means you did it your way. That's pride. Don't ask if you don't want to do it. You say, well, I didn't ask. You did. You showed up. That's asking to me. But I've had, not only that, I've sat with many of you and talked to you. At some kind of level, we sit. If you had done counseling or whatever it was. But I'm going to advise you to the Word of God. This is what it says. You could do it. You don't have to. But listen, if you know that's what it says to do and you don't do it, that's pride. And he's saying we can't do that. How many sees this where it can give you some strength tonight? All right. The other, knowledge of good and evil, is doing things your way. Knowledge of good and evil is doing things your way. Because we know what good is. But don't get good confused with good and evil. Okay? Because you ever seen people who are not in the light and do good things? They do. But he bundles them up. I mean, see, God bundles them. That's why he's not, that doesn't impress God. Because some people just can have a talent to just do good things, but they're in the darkness. And that's why he said that good deeds don't get you there. See, good deeds is not how you get in there. You got to come to the threshold. You got to be willing to accept the cup. That's before you go in. Remember, listen, before you cook the lamb, the lamb bled, and that blood's got to be dealt with before you eat. That's why we take it before we eat. That's got to be dealt with. So if you receive the cup, you're saying, I'm going to do it your way. To do that, you got to cancel out the leaven. And remember, a little leaven is a living organism. It goes through the whole lump. Just remember that. How many remember Paul? Shaul is his real name. And I was showing Philip this study I was doing on the cruise. And I come to him, I said, you ever read where Paul's name was changed from Saul to Paul? I said, well, I don't know. I said, well, I haven't either. It's not what this teaching is, but I just see things like that. Bible says he was known as Paul. But we say it like his name got changed and God did it. And after that, they never called him Saul again. After that one statement. What's his name? Shaul. never was changed. Just kind of think about it. That's some food for thought. Anyway, Shaul, he's on the road to Damascus. What does he see? What happens? Where was he? He hated God and all the people of God. He was in darkness. What happened? A beam of light went. Pshoop! What happened? He fallen. And once that happened, he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? There was no, who are you? You know, when somebody explains to me who God is, you never got the light. Because let me tell you, when the light comes, you don't need an explanation. It's done. Because there's no light like this light. Because that light, it starts coming in and it moves darkness on the side. Let me get over here. I got a shot. Shaul. Shaul. Yes, Lord. You see, it's direct. That's what has to happen for you to get prepared for. And that's why I'm teaching this. I'm praying in this teaching that the light, because if I can come, I come tell you, listen, I may come tell you something because I kind of got a hint. That's no light. But I know about the Holy Spirit, who he's not going to do it because he's trying to hurt you. He's not doing it because he wants to make you stick out and be looked at by other people. You know what it does? He puts that light in you because he says, listen, he's just calling your name, Josh, Josh, Josh. And what are we supposed to do? Yes, Lord, what you want me to do? Not my way. What was his way? Go lock up all the Christians. Let's put them in prison. Let's kill as many as we can. I'm against Christians. Light comes in. What you want me to do? Yahweh, I'm all yours. I'm doing it your way. He never turned back after that. See what happens? What happened to him? He got rid of the leaven. He got rid of it. So I figured that was one example. There's so many. Submit. This is what he did. The healing process. Because everybody needs a healing process. And this doesn't take long. There's a healing process that needs to happen before we come up here. It doesn't take long. Submit himself to some who can see properly. And that's what this is what he did. What he had to do? He went straight and he was brought to a place because God, all of a sudden, he couldn't do what? See. So he went, put him with somebody who could do what properly? See. And it took some time, and then what fell off his eyes? See what I'm talking about? It's all matches. It's all matches. We read them and we do fanciful preaching with them and all that stuff. But this stuff is this. I'm showing you it's direct connection. He now sees what he could not see before in a new light. He now sees what he couldn't see before. That's what happens when you're willing to do it. He taught others how to see the light. That's the healing process. Now, you don't just get in the light so you're in the light. There's a reason if the beam comes on and shines through darkness where we all were, there's a reason for it. It ain't for you to be safe. Well, I'm going. No, it's for you to be a light. Right? So your candle, but it's not lit. But then the beam comes and lights that candle. Now you are an extension of that main light. And now you're lighting the world. How many want to do that? That's what he's talking about here. So I pray that you see in this, because this is important. Yes, Yeshua died even though he was right. And this is the problem. This is the issue right now. Most people that have pride, it's easy to see it in somebody else. It's a lot easier. It's our makeup. But if you have pride and God deals with you directly, you looking for somebody to go with you. That's another part of pride. What do you need somebody? You know why people want people to go with them? Because they don't want to look like they're the only ones going through that. Well, if you are, then you are. Don't drag somebody else so you feel like, well, at least I ain't going by myself. I look at least five of us were doing bad. That's still pride. Do you understand? And so you can go with a crowd. It's all about you and I. It's individual. And listen, Jesus was right. He was right. And he, let me show you, no pride, I'll still die. But we won't die to nothing. We want to stand our ground. We, you know, even though, and listen, you might be right, but aren't you willing, even though you're right, to still say, you know what, I'm just going to go with God. That's it. I know I'm right, and that's okay. I'm not even going to defend anything. I'm just going to, that's what Jesus did. That's how he became the lamb that could be the proper sacrifice. He became that. And that's something that I think is of great value for us. And in 2 Chronicles 12:12, it says this, and when he humbled himself, the anger of the Lord of Yahweh was turned away from him so that as not to destroy him completely, and also conditions were good in Judah. So what had to happen first? And you can go back and read the context of that. You start in verse 1, but I don't have the time to do it tonight. But you read the context, you'll see what was going on. But what had to happen first? Humbled himself. And the anger of Yahweh turned away from him. And what happened? Conditions were good in Judah. Because let me tell you what happens. Listen, you ever wondered how you can be going around saying, I'm saved, but they don't look like it. They got stuff. You don't have no breakthrough. You're sick all the time. Your finances is a wreck. Leaven. I'm telling you. Leaven. You don't have to agree with me. I'm just the messenger. Anybody, I'm not going to judge anybody. You can come up here and sip away. But this guy, when I put it to my mouth tonight, I'm going to make sure there's no leaven. And the way I'm going to do that, I'm going to humble myself to that word I just talked about. The whole time I put it together, I say, God, I want to make sure I'm doing this. And this, you think it's easy? It's not easy. Because the old leaven wants to hang on. It wants to hang on with everything that's in it. It don't want to let go. But we got to make a conscious effort to fight against it and say, I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. And that's on you and I. We have to make that effort. And if we don't, you'll know it. And then we'll know it later on. Because we're going to look and say, Because when you come into the light, why we don't have these results? We should. We should have these results. And also the conditions were good in Judah. How many want to change your conditions? Health conditions, financial conditions, mental conditions. Anybody want to change your conditions? You know what he started with? He humbled himself before Yahweh. He got rid of the leaven. At some point, we're going to get tired of doing it our way. We keep doing it our way. Then we come to church and we say, well, I'm not doing it my way. The results. What's the results? Where's the hand of God on your life? That you're walking in divine health and you're seeing the conditions change. If it keeps repeating itself every year, you find yourself in the same position. That tells me your conditions aren't changing. And you ever thought if you do things your way, that Yahweh could be the very one that's getting on you, is assaulting you? Who else is going to do it? Because let me tell you, what did it say? And the sons of God come before Yahweh. And Satan came also. Hasadon came also. He said, where were you? So I'm going up and down, to and fro, and there, seeking whom I may devour, right? Well, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him. I have, but he's in the light. Well, I'm going to let you get in there. I'm going to take that protection away from him and let you get in there. What was it protecting him with? Light. He removed the protection, let him in there. You know why? He wanted to make sure that Job was dealing with the what issue? The pride issue, which is leaven. And what happened when he got rid of that? And let me tell you, Hasadon, he'll pull the leaven out of you. You can believe it. He'll show you. All of a sudden, the whole dough just... Poof. And listen, dough when it rises, that's not good. Do you know it's dying? What's the live organism of yeast doing to the organism that are in there, the good ones? What's it doing to them? It's eating them. It's eating them, producing carbon dioxide. How many get this? That's what's happening. That's not good. But you know, if we don't study the scripture, well, boy, my bread rose good. Boy, my bread rose good. And then we don't change or convert that thinking process. We think, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I'm feeling good. I'm glad nobody's doing as good as I'm doing in church. Pride. Watch that. Be careful. He said that he humbled himself. When he humbled, conditions changed in Judah. I'm telling you, your conditions can change. After tonight, it'll never be the same. You ought to have high expectations if you do it right. Now, I can only give this information, and I can only beg of you to not touch that cup and drink it, because the moment you put it to your mouth, you're on the hook. You're going to bear the consequences of it. So I'm going to give you a chance in a little while to make sure you got that right. The last line, unleavened bread. Humble yourselves before your God, Yahweh, because he is our God. He's our God. So I shortened it up. I'm telling you, I had this extremely long teaching and shortened it up. When you come to the door, the blood's there. It's the first thing you see. It's on a two doorpost and the lintel. It's in the threshold. That's what you see. So that's what we do first. Right? So we receive that. So keep this in mind. When you look on the doorpost, what's there? The mezuzah. The mezuzah. Think about that. Hebrew. How many want to become Hebrews tonight? Do you know what the word Hebrew literally means? Crossing over. You ready to be a Hebrew? It means crossing over. I was on this side, but I'm not on this side no more. I'm crossing over. And I take my identity there, and I submit. The mezuzah's there. Says, I'm submit to the rules and regs. I'm not. When you do that to the mezuzah and touch your lips, she says, I'm doing it his way. That's exactly what it means. That's why it's on the doorpost. So when you go in your house, you're going to do it his way. When you come out your house into the world, you're going to do it his way. Does that make sense to everybody? It's easy to get caught up with people. People you work with, you hang out around all the time, and it be a little leaven. Leaven's the whole lump. And you start saying what they say, act the way they act, talk the way they talk, and you're no light at all. None whatsoever. They can't tell. They know you go to church because you tell them, but they don't see no results. They're not coming out of darkness. And what does the light do to darkness? It dispels the darkness. Remember the shaft came into the darkness? It dispels. What happened to Shaul? The light beam come, it knocked him down. He was down on the ground, and he didn't say, oh, I wonder what it is. No, he knew exactly what it was. He had a clear, and that's why you got to have the word of God. The word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So I'm giving you the word because I believe this word creates beams of light from Yahweh that opens up your understanding, and you say, here am I. What must I do? What must I do? Amen? What happened when Paul and Silas was in prison? They sang and praised. The jail shook, bust all the things open, and everybody's running around. And the jailer there said, I'm done. And they come there, we're here. When they come there and made that proclamation, we're here. They could have run. We're here. We didn't come to run. We come here for you. We're lights. What happened? What did he say? Can I have it? This was a pagan guy. This guy he wasn't a church goer. He says, can I have it? How many want to start seeing that in your community? You know why we don't see it? Leaven. Leaven. If we get we just get 1,000 people, and we include it in 1,000, you got to ask yourself, what's going to be distinguishing trait in our life from everybody else? What's going to be the distinguishing trait? Let me tell you, it's hard to stand for God. It's not easy. There's a way the world has created it. It's a system, the world, these mega churches and all this stuff, and it's gotten where it doesn't really matter. You know, let's just all be buddies. That's what we need to be, just all buddies. We're all going to be buddies, you know. We just, you know, do fist pumps and chest bumps and all that stuff, and everything's good. And we're not going to preach hard. We're going to preach it real easy. Everybody, in fact, everybody's going to feel good. When you come, our goal is for you to feel good, like you've accomplished something. We're going to talk about your accomplishments. We're going to talk about, you know, just lifting you up, motivating you, motivational speaking. That's what we're going to do. Yet we don't see Jesus do that. We don't see Jesus was not a motivational speaker. He was talking about a kingdom that was coming, and he said, I want everybody to go, and here's how you get there. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. Remember that. So how many know there's man's way and God's way? If you ain't doing it man's way, that's in darkness. If you do it God's way, you'll be in the light. So I want to give you an opportunity. I want you to understand how important this is and how valuable this is. To sit where you are right now and to just block everybody out and focus on you right now. Honestly, do you believe that in your life that there's any pride whatsoever? If there is, that's enough. That's called a little leaven. This is all it takes. It's all it takes. Ladies, I can tell you, I've studied this. You can take a lump of dough, take the activated yeast and put it in the corner. Don't stir it in. And leave it for a few days. See what happens to the whole lump. It will make it. It takes time because it's not everywhere. But it will eventually make it through the whole lump because it's a living organism. And that's what leaven is. It's a living organism. You give me a person with just a little bit, the faintest little bit of pride, and I can assure you, you leave it there long enough, it's going to turn into a lot of other things. A lot of other things. The Lord was, I was going through this. He says the conditions will change for a lot of people. And I said, God, in what ways? Physically. Physical conditions will change. Scientists are now proving that most illnesses is connected to a psychological connection where we have accepted a way on how we are. And we won't let that go, and we're proud to be that away. You know, you're going to just be sick. Or you can go run to the doctors, and they can get you full of prescriptions and make you feel better, but you're still sick. Or you can be healed. That's God's way is healed. The world's way is cover it up. You don't feel it, so you think you're healed, but you still got it. Relationally, things will change. Let me tell you what happens. And me and my wife experienced this. We're not exempt from this. We've experienced this time and time again. I'm trying to say, what is going on? Let me tell you what happens. And I'm going to use us because this is us. And we're open. I'm going to be open with you because this is serious business. You know, I came to a decision the other day. Listen, I just might as well go fishing. Well, if not, I'm going to get, this is the truth. This is what it is. Come what may, this is the truth. Now, I meant that in every level. I meant that in every level, with every relationship, including my wife, remaining to be my wife. Think about that. So I'm not small talking to you. This is serious business. Let me tell you what happens when there's just a little leaven. Leaven is like a separator. It's like a wall. So the wall goes up, and if two people have just a little pride, they will communicate, but they'll communicate through a wall. The wall's up because of the leaven, and so they're communicating, they're making it. And sometimes you can go for a long, but you're behind the wall. When your relationship with God, you know, some people say, well, I love God, but there's a wall up. The wall is called my way wall. And I want it my way. She wants it her way. and we talk or communicate from behind walls. The only way those walls can come down is we got to get rid of the leaven. So we got to humble ourselves and say, you know what? That's not easy. It's one of my biggest hang-ups, right? But I thought about Jesus, and I kept thinking about him. He was right, but he died. Because this is what we say, well, I'm right. You know, you can be right. And right at the moment you're right, that little bit of our living organism is called pride, because you don't want to say you're wrong at all costs, because you know, and you're 100% right. But you won't say it, that's pride. Jesus was right and he died. Does that get you? It got me. It got me. I put it in the slide. That's why I put it in the slide. He was right and he still died. But that's what we want to be, right about everything. And that's when the moment that happens, the wall goes up. So you've been communicating from behind walls. Let me just tell you, that can only happen for so long. That's only going to be good for so long. You can hear one another, but what happens when you don't deal with the wall? It gets bigger and thicker and taller and taller, and before you know it, you can't hear one another anymore. And the moment you can't hear one another anymore, you shut down, and the only person you're listening to is Hasadan. And he is a liar. So you're in a mess. If the only one you're listening to is a liar, you're in trouble. So I want to make this is mine. This is me. I'm saying that I want to get rid of all pride. All pride. And I don't, listen, we do not have to be right about everything. Even though we're right. Do you understand? Jesus was right, but he died anyway. That's the position we got to take. Because what are you saying when you do that? You said, does it matter as long as I'm in the light? Why would I have to do it my way when I'm going to do it his way? And his way sometimes is sacrificing to the point of like Jesus did, he died. So who here right now? This is not a spot where you crawl somewhere and you get somewhere and you say, I got to pray for 30. You need to do that home. We're about to have this meal. We got to get ready here. Because let me tell you, appointed times don't wait. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yes.
Appointed times don't wait on you. You listen, when he says, son, go get your children, you can't say, hold up. Now I don't want no pride. Too late. Do you understand? Because appointed times don't wait. And this is an appointed time, and we're going to step into this. And we're going to take the cup. And I'm going to take us through that process. Once you drink it, we sit down and we have this meal. This is not us. Listen, do we want to have fun? Absolutely. Do we want to be able to talk to each other? Absolutely. But this shouldn't be just, we should be talking about building relationships, talking to people, looking at them. This, you know what's the problem? We don't communicate no more. We're too busy. We got our cell phones. We do it. We all do it. The other day, we all sit in a restaurant and everybody's got their phone. Nobody talks anymore. We don't talk to each other. We just check in our status, tweeting and all that stuff. We don't do it. And listen, I'm not saying that's the thing that's hurting you, but sometimes it's too much of that and there's not enough of us talking. It's no communicating. Listen, if that's all I did, you think I would come here with this kind of information? This takes time where you give yourself to the Lord and say, God, you know, I could be doing other stuff. I can go fishing. I can watch TV. I can do that. And I do those things. But then there's a time I said, I can't do that. How can I do all of that and still get a word from God? It's impossible. I got to get in the Word. I got to study. I got to read my Bible. I got to pray and say, God, speak to me. I'm listening. I want to die daily before you. Sit on the side of my bed and say, God, I thank you for health in my body. I thank you for giving me direction today. I thank you for wisdom and insight, knowledge beyond my years. I don't want to have to wait till I get old to know stuff. I always thank him for knowledge beyond my years. And I want that information. He'll give it to us. But how many are ready to humble yourself? Some of you come in here, you was a complete wreck. I see you easing up a little bit. You see it. Some of you wear it right here, right in your face. But it's not, I don't want to come. I don't want to be the guy to come put my hand on you and say, you it. Right? So what you want to do? How many, by the way, thought Sunday night was a gift from God? Yes. Wasn't it? Yes. You ever notice we can get a Sunday night, a gift from God, and we struggle to get to Tuesday? We face with all them same issues again? You ever wondered about that? Can I tell you why? Leaven. Because what happens? We can get the leaven almost out. Almost out. I mean almost out. And we got one little grain left. By Tuesday, you're back in that spot. You're all blowed up. Don't look at me like I'm the only one who's experienced that. You've experienced that? And you go, what is wrong with me? Leaven. That's what's wrong. A little bit will keep you going, and you keep doing it. You go to church, and I mean you say, that's it. I'm serious. I'm saying, listen, I'm telling you how sins and things that's been against you is going to fall off of you, and they'll never come back again, ever. I'm talking about getting rid of it, ever. It's never coming back because you're removing that part. How many ready to deal with that? Well, you can have freedom in the Lord, but you've seen it. You go and you go and you go, and all of a sudden, why did I do that? There's a reason. It's called leaven, and it's all because of boasting. Is thinking we're somewhere when we haven't even gotten there yet. But I like to show that I'm there because it makes everybody else a wee bit smaller than me, so I'm the big shot. Pride. So how many want to remove the leaven? Well, listen, don't give it to God because he don't like leaven. Don't say, God, take this leaven, God. I don't want it. You get rid of it. Just get rid of it. So the pride. So I know we talk about this leaven and we put a lot of focus on the unleavened bread. But this, if you wanted to know the real deal, I just gave it to you. So pride is what I would be focused on. I would say, God, I don't want to be prideful about anything. And let me tell you, this is dangerous stuff. So how many, sir, I talked about conditions change. Conditions will change in your health. Relational conditions will change. Physical goes with your health. But financial conditions, how many ready to change that? Financial conditions will change. Because let me tell you, you say, well, I'm serving God. I'm wide open, you know. I'm just going through something. I know what you're going through, pride. I'm trying to give a name to what you're going through because you've been going through it for a lot of years. You can't be serving God this many years and still be broke. That's impossible. Am I speaking the truth? Yes. Now, let me tell you, if you think I like doing this, I don't. I'd much rather just come. Let's make it nice and pretty. Let's all have a dinner and we can go home. And at least I did something. I brought people together. You know, but that's... What good is it unless I tell you the reality? But I see cycles of the same type of poverty stricken. That's crazy. Why? Leaven. You don't give me that. Well, I just ain't had my break. Because let me tell you the next sentence. They get all the breaks. That's pride. They get all the breaks. What are we going to profile the people who's got more now? And if you want that, you can find a whole group. All you got to do is hook up with Bernie Sanders. He's got a whole group of them, about 1,000 following him because everybody wins. You know how you win? You do something about it. You know how you get better? You actually make an effort to be better. That's how it happens. That's why I've always said you can be two people sit on the same row, hear the same message, and one can be blessed and the other cursed because one will humble themselves and get rid of the leaven, and the other one will walk out saying, boy, he needed that, and stay broke the rest of their life. Am I telling the truth here? You know why I do it? Because I love you and I care about you. And third thing, and I'll start with this. So physical, relational, and financial, and the fourth one, and this is important, very important. You begin to see people come in. I know we want it to be somebody else's fault. Well, they were coming to church, but so-and-so said that about them. Oh, don't put it on so-and-so. Don't put it, because if you're a beam of light, so-and-so sure can't block it. Did you understand that? They wouldn't have said that. They still didn't. Listen, the beam of light, is the closest connection of the beam of light to that person is you, then there's nobody else's fault but you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If that's your family, if that's your wife, if that's your husband, if that's your children, you're the closest light to them. That's where the beam bursts through into that darkness and they have a Shaul moment. They don't come, Pastor, I need to get saved. They go, Mama, and they hit the deck. I'm going to tell you, you have your weeping moment like you never had in your life. And how'd that happen? You did that. Because you let pride go and the light came on. And when the light comes on, are you going to pet their sins any longer? No, you can't. You know why we pet our family sins? You know why we do it? Pride. Because we don't want the community to find out. They act that way. That's pride. That's leaven. I hope you hear me speaking the truth. And so this is what we have to do. We're about to take this. I'm going to ask if we would to take a few moments and just tell God, I don't want no pride. I'm so, let me tell you, I know some of you are worn slap out. You can't go another year without humbling yourself before God. You know why? Let me tell you what we do when we don't humble. We make decisions. That's your way. Be careful. When you're humble, you're saying, I ain't even deciding. I'm just going to throw myself to the grace of God, and it's going. That's whatever's going to happen, it's going to happen. But I'm not doing it my way. I'm going to do it His way. And that's what you do. Let me tell you, what's going to happen to those walls relationally? They're going to come down. They'll come down. When they come down, the light begins to burst forth. So I want you to see this spiritually, what's going to happen. So let me just explain this while we're praying. Listen to me careful. All your kids, are y'all awake? Listen to me careful. All them ones that can play outside, not the babies. Y'all can play outside, play baseball, do all that stuff for hours. You stay awake. Because if they're going to take this, they better be serious. Be serious. I got on to the young people on Sunday just to let them know this is serious business. Tonight you can continue that progress in removing the leaven. The younger ones that's really young, mom and dad, you got opportunity to let them see you do these things. So they participate because they need to see you doing it. That's how they learn. And when they get old and it can be explained, right, then you can walk them right through it and they're going to already be accustomed to what we do. Does that make sense? But the older kids, the kids that can, they know what right and wrong is. Y'all need to make sure you want to serve God. You're serious about serving God. I want to live for the Lord. And ask Him to help you. And He'll listen. We got our kids. Our kids can listen. I travel in other countries. I see kids younger than this group right here. I'm talking about praying in the Spirit and the power of God on their life, and they worship us. And they do that every time they come to church. How many want to see that change happen for our kids? They get involved in everything else. And we're right behind them. We push them very heavy into that involvement. I'm all about being involved. But I don't see that same intensity involvement in the church where you're pursuing them, you're pushing them to the light where they can be worshipers like I see in other countries. That needs to happen. So you demand it. Don't say, well, you know, they don't really like it. So what? They don't like it. You think they're just going to jump on board? You got to show them. Let me tell you, when you start liking and you start getting involved in it, they're going to start getting involved in it, and you keep exposing them to it, they're going to start realizing, and then all of a sudden, they're going to have this amazing humbleness toward the things of God, and they're going to have a deep respect for it. When they get older, they won't depart from it because it's going to be seated deep within them. And then you're going to be able to stand before God, and he's going to say, good job. You did a good job. I give you this many children, and you led every one of them to the right path. Good job. That's our job. So I want you to take a few moments. It's going to be quiet. We ask everybody to be quiet. Give everybody this opportunity. You can bow your head. You can kneel on by your seat. Hey, whatever you feel like you need to do, whatever your posture. But I'm asking you to ask God that we remove the leaven. Don't worry about nobody else in here. If you worried about anybody else and what they're doing, then that's a good indication that you need to refocus, because there's a leaven issue there. And you'd ask the Lord, say, Lord, am I really open my heart to you? Have I really opened myself up to you? I don't want to have any pride about anything. I really don't. I just want to humble myself. I want to yield to you. I want you to be my God, and I want to serve you the correct way. But I realize I'm about to get up and sit in this table, and I'm going to take that cup. And when I take that cup, I'm agreeing that I accept the blood that Jesus shed for me, his sacrifice. And then I'm going to eat. I'm going to take part in the meal. And remember what he told him to do? Eat it all. And that's what you're saying. Say, I'm going to consume it all. I'm not going to take. And that's what people want to do. They just want to pick on it. They want a little bit, just enough to get them over, just enough to get them by. And we wonder about this. So listen, humbling ourselves before God. We humble ourselves. Father, I thank you for this night. I thank you for this opportunity you've given us. God, I want to humble myself before you. I want these things. I want to see better relationship. I want to have a great relationship with my wife, with my children, with my family, with our church. I want to have a great relationship. But God, I realize pride, the number one cause is pride, is the one thing that's separated me from having those relationships that you want me to have. And I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to forgive me of all the pride that's in my life, and I renounce it. I renounce it right now in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I renounce pride has no place in my life. I want to remember this every day. I want to remember every single day that Yeshua died and he was right. He was right. And Lord, every time it tries to come and attach itself, I'm asking you for an awareness that I can deal with it immediately. Sin does not have place to reign in me. I yield to you, and I thank you for it. I humble myself before you, God. And I thank you that I will have the conditions are going to change in my life. Thank you for it. Conditions are going to change in my life. I want to be the light that you want me to be. I want to be that light. And I pray, Lord, for our entire church here, that they would embrace your word and receive what was said tonight. God, I thank you for giving us deliverance. Deliverance, completely removing the leaven. We're going to be a new lump. A new lump, brand new. After tonight, we're going to be a new lump. Thank you for that. God, I thank you. You're so amazing. I love you. And I praise you. What a wonder you are. You're so amazing. I thank you for your goodness. I give you the glory, and I give you the praise in the name of Yeshua. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. What a wonder you are. God, what a wonder you are. Thank you. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. What an incredible God. Any good? Well, we're going to take our place, this name tags. We ask that you sit where your name tag is. We try to keep the families together.